Beloved Book One, Tozan's 3 pounds of flax. A monk asked Tozan, "What is Buddha?" Tozan said, "3 pounds of flax." Secho says, "The golden crow swoops, the silver hare bounds. The echo comes back, direct and free. Who judges Tozan by his word or phrase is a blind tortoise lost in a lonely vale. The abundant blossoms, the luxuriant flowers, the southern bamboo, the northern trees. One recalls Riku Taifu and Choki. You should not cry, but laugh, eh?" Book One.
Yahoo!
Manisa. Not finding any expression for truth, Zen has developed a language of its own. Hence, to ordinary logic, it looks absurd. But those who have experienced their own being, their consciousness, will find that although the language is absurd, it is absolutely relevant. Zen's case is very special. For example, this Tozan's 3 pounds of flax. It is impossible to say what is the experience of being a Buddha, of being awakened. Even in your common life, you wake up every morning, you go to sleep every night, thousands of nights you must have slept, and thousands of mornings you must have awakened. But can you describe what is sleep? You cannot say you don't know it. Can you give any explanation to the experience of waking up in the morning? You have known it many times. It is not something unknown to you, but still when it comes to express it, you come against a very adamant wall. The language that we use for communication simply fails. But something has to be done. A question has been asked, an answer has to be given. And the language does not allow any answers. In such a situation, Zen developed its own language. It can be easily criticized, condemned, described as absurd and irrational. But that is not very intelligent. Intelligence needs to find a way to understand the irrational language of Zen. A monk asked Tozan, and Tozan is one of the most significant masters that happened in 1400 years. And he is being asked, what is Buddha? The word Buddha is from Sanskrit, but now it has been taken over by Chinese, by Japanese, for the simple reason that they could not find anything equivalent . The word Buddha means a consciousness at its peak. What does it mean? A consciousness at its peak? Tozan said, you must be expecting some philosophical answer, some theological answer. some rational explanation but what Tozan said is 3 pounds of flax. At that moment he was carrying 3 pounds of flax. In that moment, he could not indicate anything else. There was nothing else available other than 3 pounds of flax. In fact, he is saying the question is wrong. And if you ask a wrong question, you will get a wrong answer. But he is compassionate and polite. Rather than saying that you idiot, question about Buddha is not to be asked. It is an experience without any explanation, an experience beyond mind. But being of a very kind nature, rather than saying that you are asking a wrong question, he simply gives him an absolutely absurd answer. 3 pounds of flax. In that moment, it must have come to the inquirer as a shock. And also as insulting not only to him but Gautam Buddha. But he knows Tozan that he cannot be insultive, derogatory in any sense towards Gautam Buddha. Because for him to insult Gautam Buddha will be insulting himself. His answer is indicative that language is not possible. To contain the experience, it is almost like whatever I say will not be much more valuable than 3 pounds of flax. try to see the point. I will give you an example, perhaps that may help you. Adolf Hitler convinced one of the most civilized, cultured, courageous nation that the defeat of Germany in First World War and all the problems of Germany are because of the Jews. First, people laughed that this is absurd. Jews have nothing to do with it. On the contrary, they have given as much money to fight as nobody else, and to make them responsible. But when somebody continuously repeats a thing, it becomes a truth. Every lie can become almost true, just it needs to be repeated with dogmatic, authoritative force. And that was the whole strategy of Adolf Hitler. He was not a man of great intelligence. But he made the whole nation convinced that he is right. If Jews are removed, all problems will be solved. One day, as he is coming from his morning walk, he meets the chief rabbi of Berlin. A strange coincidence. Adolf Hitler asked the rabbi, "What do you think? What is the cause of Germany's failure? All its problems?" The chief rabbi said, "It is very simple. The bicycles. Unless you destroy all the bicycles, there is no chance for Germany to attain to its glory." Adolf Hitler said, "Are you joking? What kind of nonsense you are talking? How can bicycles be responsible for Germany's failure?" The chief rabbi said, "I was just saying that how Jews can be responsible. And if Jews can be responsible, then what is wrong in bicycles?" This answer of Tozan is absurd, but any answer will be absurd. So you have to understand the milieu of Zen. In fact, Tozan has not answered. He has simply said to the man that don't ask such stupid questions. But because of my kindness, I cannot call you stupid. And all answers possible will be of the same quality as 3 pounds of flesh, which is at least right now available in my hands. I can show it to you. By his answer, he is making all answers useless. Secho says, commenting the golden crow soups, the silver hair bounds, the echo comes back direct and free. Who judges Tozan by his word? Our phrase is a blind tortoise lost in a lonely vale. The abundant blossoms, the luxuriant flowers, the southern bamboo, the northern trees. One recalls Riku, Taifu and Chokai. You should not cry, but laugh. Secho is saying that when the golden crow soup are the silver hair bounds, the echo comes back direct and free. That is the Buddha, the echo. Who judges Tozan by his word? Our phrase is a blind tortoise lost in a lonely vale. Don't judge Tozan by his word. Look into his eyes. Feel the dance of his heart. Look at the grace and the compassion and the love of the man. He reminds in his comment an incident about Riku Taifu. One of the disciples of great master Nansen. Nansen died. Riku Taifu stood in front of his master's coffin and gave a loud laugh. A priest reproached him, saying, "Was not he your teacher? Why do you laugh when you should lament for him?" Riku Taifu said, "Say a word, and if it fulfills the Buddha's teaching, I will lament." I will repeat. He is saying that I am ready to lament. Say a single word that fulfills Buddha's teaching, and I am ready to lament. But the priest could not utter a word. Deploring this, Riku Taifu said, "Alas, our teacher has long gone." Because Nansen would not have remained silent. He would have said something, perhaps absolutely absurd, but still indicating, like an arrow towards a far away star. And saying this, he wept aloud. Later, Chokhai, hearing of this, said, "You should not cry, you should laugh." Another Zen master, when heard this, he said, "There is no reason to cry. Nansen has fulfilled his destiny. It is a time to celebrate." He has not gone anywhere. He has simply become free from the form of body and mind. He has become just pure consciousness, like the air surrounding you. He was confined into the body, now he is unconfined. This is not the time for crying. You should not cry, you should laugh. That's why poor Manisha has to shout, "Yahoo!" That is perfectly good. 3 pounds of flax are Yahoo! Both weigh 3 pounds. This is a strange story that developed in the name of Zen. A small group of people, beginning with Mahakashyapa, at the time of Gautam Buddha, although it is called Zen Buddhism, it should not be attached with Buddhism. It has nothing to do with any ism. It is a pure experience without any theology. Its purity is such that no word can catch it. Every word is going to pollute it. Mahakashyapa is the founder, not in the sense as Muhammad is the founder of Mohammedanism, or Mahavira is the founder of Jainism, or Karl Marx is the founder of communism. From the very beginning, it takes a strange turn that has never happened anywhere else. It is simply unique. There is nothing else with which it can be compared. Gautam Buddha, one morning discourse, came with a flower, a rose in his hand. It was very strange. Even people who have been with him for 20 years have never seen him bringing anything in his hand. What happened? Why he has brought this rose flower? But things became more mysterious as time passed. Buddha sat in his place, and rather than speaking, he started looking at the rose flower and continued. People's waiting became deeper and deeper, and he went on continuously looking at the flower. There was immense silence. It must have been the similar silence that is here. But it became heavy. A moment comes, you can only have a certain amount of silence. Otherwise, it will crush you. It has a weight. When it became too much a burden and nobody was saying anything, and Buddha was looking at the flower, and nobody has the courage or the guts to ask him, what is the matter? What has happened? Where is the morning discourse? Only one man, Mahakashyapa, understood. This was the morning discourse. Watching silently, saying nothing, just being aware. It may be a rose flower, or it may be anything. Watching without being attached, that was the discourse. But seeing that nobody is understanding, he laughed loudly. That was even more mysterious, because Mahakashyapa was an absolutely silent man. He is never mentioned before in Buddhist scriptures. He has never said a single word to anybody. He was not a talking person. He used to sit under a certain tree. For so many years he has been sitting under that tree when Buddha was speaking, that the tree has become almost monopolized without saying. Nobody said there. Everybody knew that Mahakashyapa will be coming. And that place is reserved. This was the first time that this silent man laughed so loudly that he would have defeated Sardar Gurdayal Singh. Only we have here Sardar Gurdayal Singh. Perhaps Gurdayal Singh may have defeated Mahakashyapa. Because being a Sardar, he cannot accept any defeat. Mahakashyapa or no Mahakashyapa, but unfortunately he was not present in that assembly. He is our Jawahar. But this laughter of Mahakashyapa is the beginning of Zen. Because nobody understood and Buddha said nothing and simply gestured towards Mahakashyapa to come close for the first time in 20 years. And gave the rose flower to him. This giving of the rose flower to Mahakashyapa is the beginning of Zen. Now language is no more relevant. Now communication has to find some other way. Buddha's giving the rose to Mahakashyapa is called the seal of Zen, that Buddha confirms Mahakashyapa's understanding, that in that vast assembly of monks, only Mahakashyapa could understood the silent watchfulness of Gautam Buddha, that only he could hear the unsaid, that only he could feel when others have simply wondered what is the matter, and even up to now it is being asked in Zen monasteries, why Gautam Buddha gave the rose flower to Mahakashyapa? Just an indication that you have understood. Here begins a new language, mysterious, irrational, absurd, but tremendously meaningful. There is a great need to see Zen not as a religion, but as a language, a method of communion which is totally different from any other communication methods. Zen begin in laughter. It will be good to have few laughters. Paddy and Sean are sitting in the pub having a discussion about their wives. What do you mean? Ask Sean. When you say you have to think twice before you leave your wife alone at night, first, replies Paddy, I have to think up a reason for going out. And second, I have to think up a reason why she can't go with me. Mrs. Zambini goes to visit a medium. Can you talk with the dead? She asks. I can do everything, replies the medium. Card reading, fortune telling, astrology, crystal ball, sciences, pendulum, what do you want? I want to speak with my grandmother who died in Budapest, explains Mrs. Zambini. The medium sits her down and turns out the lights. There is silence and then the sound of the wind. And the medium goes into a trance. Suddenly there is a voice, this is your grandmother, darling. Ah, granny, cries Mrs. Zambini, how is everything with you? It is beautiful here, replies granny. How is granddad? Ask Mrs. Zambini. He is very happy, replies granny. there is the noise of wind, and then Granny speaks again, "I must go now, darling." "Ah, Granny," cries Mrs. Jhambini, "I just have one more question." "Yes, darling, ask it," replies Granny. "Tell me," asks Mrs. Jhambini, "where the hell did you learn English?" Father Murphy, Reverend Philpott, and Rabbi Nussbaum are playing cards together and gambling in the back room of the pub. All of a sudden, a policeman comes in and they are arrested. In court, the magistrate asks Father Murphy, "You are accused of gambling. What do you have to say?" The old priest looks up to heaven, winks, and prays silently, "Ah, God, just one little white lie, just one little white lie, I will never do it again, okay?" He then announces to the magistrate, "Not guilty." "Okay," says the magistrate, "you can go. And what about you, Reverend? What do you have to say?" The clergyman looks piously to heaven and then bows his head in prayer, "Ah, God, just one little white lie, I will never do it again." And then says out loud, "Not guilty." "Very well," says the magistrate, "you can go. Rabbi Nussbaum is next." "You are accused of gambling," says the magistrate. "What do you have to say?" "Gambling?" asked Rabbi, "with whom?" Newly wed Barbara wants to make sure that she is doing everything properly. She goes to church and into the confession box where Father Sullivan is sitting. "Father," asks Barbara, "is it all right to have intercourse just before communion?" "Of course, my child," replies the priest, "as long as we don't make too much noise." Minutes of silence. No movement. Let the body be absolutely still, like a statue, frozen. Now, relax. Now, come back. Okay, Manisha.
Yes, Bhagwan.
La 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 sister.